And his name is Dan Kebberly, very familiar to folks here in the Inland Northwest as a professor at Whitworth University, as a very fine jazz player, and also just a trumpeter of great skill and reputation, no matter the genre. So we'll be talking to him in a bit. We're celebrating the life of his brother David, who passed from the scene not too long ago. And we'll be talking about David Kebberly and just the amazing range of this man's achievements. And there is a range, trust me. We're going to start with some music that comes from the jazz end of things. This takes us back to the year 2008 in the Spokane Jazz Orchestra. At that point, under the direction of Dan Kebberly, on this occasion, for this concert, he welcomed his brother David, and this is one of the selections they played. And the clarinetist was David Kebberly. That was the Spokane Jazz Orchestra. And I have a correction to make. I announced that it was Dan Kebberly who was directing on that selection. But no, indeed, this and one other selection that we're going to hear was with Gunther Schuller at the helm. So with the wonders of modern technology here, let me push this button. And Dan Keberle.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Dan, and it's really good to be talking with you, and the technology has cooperated so far.
Right.
This is all a good thing. So counting down that begin that we just heard was none other than Gunther Schuller.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Gunther used to, as everybody knows, he used to come out to Spokane all the time for mm-hmm. mostly all the classical music and the Bach Festival and Sandpoint. But he was also a very, very interested in jazz, and it was a huge part of his life. And he played on recordings with Miles Davis and Gil Evans, and he lived this music, with Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw. And so he approached us when I was the director and said he'd like to do a concert. And all we needed was a clarinetist. And so the light went on, and that was in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother came out and learned all this music that Gunther wanted to do. And so that was Gunther counting that tune off. And actually, these concerts he did with us were almost like lecture recitals with a big band on the stage
mm-hmm.
at Bing Crosby Theater, because he would introduce every tune just off the top of his head, and because he, like I said, he lived it, and tell all kinds of interesting anecdotes and stories and the facts behind the music, and then we'd play the song. And it's a very, very fond memories for me, not only with my brother on that one, but with Gunther too.
Gunther, he was an American original. That's
yes, he was.
The only way you can put it. And
we certainly are
less for his passing, but we certainly are better for his having been with us here in Spokane for so many years. Well, you and your late brother, and our condolences to you on the
Thank
loss
you.
Of your brother, because as one grows in age and hopefully wisdom, and people pass from the scene who are younger than you, go, oh my. But they should have been around longer. But take us back to happier times, to the Keberle household as you were growing up. Was music always a part of what you guys did?
Yes, music was always a part. My father was an amateur violinist. He played principal in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin Youth Symphony, and eventually went into law. But he took his violin out every Christmas and would play it for us. And we had a piano, and we all took piano lessons. And so there was a lot of music. And, of course, my parents are of the age, they grew up in the big band era, so they played recordings all the time of that kind of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And but not only that, my brother was, he was really, when it comes to music, kind of a real Renaissance man. He dabbled in everything, so I woke up every morning, I could hear him playing the Beatles from his bedroom, for many, many years. And he listened to all kinds of music from other cultures, and jazz, and vocal music. And so he was a huge influence on my life. And when I was in high school, he would bring recordings home. He went to Indiana University and studied clarinet there and music composition with Bernard Haydn. When I was in high school, every time he'd come home from college, he'd bring me another recording of something, and he would introduce me one time to Stravinsky's Firebird Suite, and another time to Bartok's string quartets, and then one time he'd bring a recording of the Buddy Rich Jazz Band, And I grew up, we grew up in this little town in Wisconsin, so we weren't exposed to too much of that, and there was no internet back then, so.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get the records, and that's what he did. He was a very big influence, and he formed rock bands and had me playing them with him when we were really young, and so it was the full spectrum of all kinds of music, and I think that's kind of the way he lived his life, his professional life, all the way.
That certainly is the case, because those who are unfamiliar with your brother and his career and his reputation. He was always a strong jazz player, but at the same time, he was very much a figure in the world of contemporary music. And
yes.
When I say contemporary music, this is that whole most intriguing period that sort of perhaps peaked in the latter half of the 20th century with all the experimentation with sound and instrumental technique and things, sounds that clarinet, for example, you never heard the clarinet make those sounds, but all of a sudden that becomes part of the vocabulary of players of the instrument.
Yes, he was, go ahead.
You know, well, I'm just wondering how he gets started, what may have set him on that particular compositional path.
Well, I think, you know, his time at Indiana with Bernard Haydn, he talked to me about this every so often. He was really pushed by his teachers there in composition to try to write music that had never, ever been written before. He didn't want to use anything conventional in terms of chords or melodies or even rhythms. I mean, if you had a chance to look at this music, you'd be amazed at how complicated the rhythms are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to it, it almost sounds like there is no rhythm, but it actually was the opposite. It was extremely detailed rhythm. He wrote a concerto for me once for trumpet and chamber group, and it took me about a year to learn it, and mostly because of all the counting issues. I mean, I've never just seen so many crazy rhythmic things that were very hard to put together with a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wouldn't just be in my part. Everybody would have things like that. So, yeah, he was all about trying to arrange the notes in a sound that had never been done before. And a little story, one time, I think I was still in high school, I didn't know what I was talking about really, and I said, David, it sounds like your music, like you can just write anything you want. And we're talking about this really modern music mm-hmm. that he wrote. And he said, well, I can't write this, and he'd play a C major triad. And he said, and I can't write this, and he'd play a major scale or something, you know, really familiar. And he was kind of ticked off at me, like, there's a lot of things I can't write because it's all been written. And he wanted to write things that had never been written before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was certainly the spirit of that time, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, how much did the world of jazz play in his thinking? And did he get a chance to perform much in that arena?
Well, he always listened to jazz, and he certainly did his share of jazz gigs and with bands and different groups. And but his professional life and his degrees were in modern classical composition and also in the clarinet, classical clarinet. So I don't think he did as much jazz as he would have liked to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he really jumped on the few times we had him, four times with the Spokane Jazz Orchestra as our guest artist. And of course, Benny Goodman was, of course, the number one in the entire world that could play anything. But Benny Goodman played a lot of classical music,
mm-hmm,
as
sure.
we all know, and in addition to his jazz. So my brother was definitely inspired by that and did a fair amount of jazz. But these concerts he did with SGO were really, really fun for us.
Let's reminisce and go back to another one. Actually, another one that was led by Gunther Schuller. This is the Moon Glow arrangement.
This is, yeah, for Artie Shaw, yes.
All right, so let's give a listen, and we'll be back in just about 5 minutes.
Thank you.
David Keberle, the clarinetist, along with the Spokane Jazz Orchestra, led in that case by Gunther Schuller in that wonderful Artie Shaw arrangement of Moonglow. His playing in there, and I should mention that my guest today is Dan Keberle, Spokane area teacher and musician, and along the way for many years, director of the Spokane Jazz Orchestra. There's something about his playing there that just fits the style wonderfully.
Mm. Yeah, it's a sweet arrangement. You know, a lot of it mm-hmm. because Artie Shaw had those strings added into that, and we had members of Spokane Symphony come and augment the mm-hmm. Spokane Jazz Orchestra, and it makes it very sweet and almost kind of melancholy and. I don't know if everybody realizes, you know, the clarinet is such an expressive instrument. It can really, it's got this massive range and different kinds of tones that you can get out of it. It's pretty incredible. And so that was a really sweet little version of that song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side of your brother's career, he spent a number of years in Rome.
Yes. Long time. He received a Fulbright scholarship after he finished his he did his bachelor's degree in clarinet and composition at Indiana, and mm-hmm. then he went to the New England Conservatory and studied composition with Donald Martino. And then, after that, in 1979, he received a Fulbright scholarship to go and study composition in Rome at the Academy of Santa Cecilia. And he didn't come back again for about 19 years.
Wow.
He loved it over there, and he really he formed several new music groups, and he taught at a lot of the universities in that area, taught clarinet as well as composition and music theory. And that's where I kind of, you know, I've taken my Whitworth University jazz group there, I think, 9 or 10 times, and that's where it all started. That's also where he met one of the truly great clarinetist in the world with extended techniques on the clarinet, and that man's name was William O. Smith. William O. Smith played clarinet with Dave Brubeck for many, many years, but he was first and foremost also a classical clarinet player who did all kinds of extended techniques and wrote many compositions, so David got to know him very well. They actually became very, very close friends.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be good, before we go any further, to play a bit of David Keberle in his classical mode, that's even kind of a weird word to use because we get associations with it. That's why I don't like using it.
Yeah.
It's in his art music mode, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a set of pieces called Four to Go. Little miniature. He's going to play one of them, the last one, which is marked Relentlessly Yet Always Rockin'.
That's right.
It has a very fine modern pedigree because he uses the same ensemble of instruments, flute, clarinet, violin, cello, piano, and percussion that Schoenberg used for Pierre Lunaire, one of the bedrock pieces of modern music. So we'll be back in 3 minutes. It's a quickie, but I think it gives us a sonic portrait of the other side of David Keberle's career. Here it is.
Thank you.
And there you have it, the last movement of Four to Go, music of David Keberle, written in 1999, an ensemble led by Daniel Meyer. That, by the way, is from an album of his that's called Caught in Time. That has a really interesting variety of his music on it. And I am talking now with David's brother, Dan Keberle. And Dan, how close were you able to be to David and his work when he was spending all those years in Rome?
Well, I would go over there. As I said, I took my Whitworth jazz students over there. We've gone there 9 or 10 times now, and every time we'd go, David would be the one to set up our concerts because he knew all the musicians. And as we've been talking, not just the classical musicians, he knew a lot of the jazz musicians and some of the most important players in Rome. So he'd find places where we could play, and we'd have these Italian jazz musicians as our guest artists. So I saw him a number of times over there. I never got to see him in his real realm here, in this very modern art music that he wrote. But he would send me all his records. I've got them sitting out here right now. The Electrovox Ensemble record, and then he did one with Shihomi Kishida on piano. And he has a CD called Il Clarinetto, which is just all clarinet pieces of various combinations and all kinds of extended techniques. And then, of course, yeah, his last album, this Caught in Time, which you can still get on Amazon if you're looking for it and want to listen to it more. And I think you can get it on iTunes as well.
And he came back home, put that in quotes, at least closer. He came back to the continental U.S. starting in 2004 to teach at Staten Island City College.
He actually came back in the late 90s. He met the love of his life, a violinist, Natalie Forbes. She was from Australia, and she also taught at one of the schools he taught at in Rome. And when they got married, they moved back first to Pittsburgh, and then they ended up where he lived and worked at the City University, New York, Staten Island.
Mm-hmm. And he taught there really for the rest of his life, didn't he?
Yes, he taught there the rest of his life, and they were going to do a big thing on the anniversary of his passing yesterday, but of course all the concerts have been canceled. So mm-hmm. It's nice that we can do this on the radio.
I'd like to get in one more jazz tune before we go.
Okay.
We'll go out with a longer of his classic pieces. How about doing a little Stompin' at the Savoy?
Sure. That's a good one. Yeah.
And this comes from a concert that you conducted, yes?
Yes. This is one we had him as a guest artist 4 times with the Spokane Jazz Orchestra. The Spokane Jazz Orchestra is a little bit more about, it's about jazz from the entire century. Mm-hmm. And we would focus, though, a lot on newer things and a lot of Ellington and Count Basie, but there's no doubt that Benny Goodman was a big, big part of the development of jazz music. And so three times we did a concert tribute to Benny Goodman featuring David, and then one time Artie Shaw when Gunther came out, Gunther Schuller.
And remind us how many years you were in charge of the orchestra.
I directed the group for 15 years, from 1993 until 2008, through 2008.
Wow. A lot of water under the Monroe Bridge, of changes, a lot of developments on so many fronts in those years.
It seems to have passed too quickly now.
Well, it has a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's do a little dancing. We can forget our troubles. Here we go.
Okay.
Let's go Stompin' at the Savoy. Thank you. Music that is just so elegant, stomping at the Savoy. It's as though we should all be wearing gowns and tuxedos. And fortunately, we'd all be smoking too, but that's another story. That's a great, great arrangement. Again, just superbly played by the Spokane Jazz Orchestra. That's led by Dan Keberle from this performance back in March of 2008. And that most elegant clarinet solo played by his late brother, David. Dan, it's been so wonderful to talk with you and to learn more about your brother and also to just kind of revisit one of the little golden ages of music in Spokane when you and he were a part of that together on these occasions with the Jazz Orchestra. So, yeah, thanks so much. And
thank you.
Our best to you and your family and your students at Whitworth. And let's all hold together on this so we can all get back to performance live and in person.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dan, thanks again, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you very much.
All right, and we are going to go out with a bit more of the art music side of David Keberle. This is a piece from that same album I was talking about, Caught in Time. And it's got a wonderful, wonderful title, and that is Quattro Chiacchiere ed un Aperitivo. So it's four chats, if you will, four chit-chats and a little aperitif. And it's in movements. There's the anteprima, the before the first, and then the preludio, a dialogue that is described as tempo turbato, then a lovely aria, and that goes into the finale. So in about 10 minutes, this is four chit-chats and aperitif, the music of David Keberle, as played by Trio Johannes. music of David Keberle, Quattro Chiacchiere ed un Aperitivo, Four Chit-Chats and an Aperitif. And it was the trio Johannes playing there. We've been remembering the life of David Keberle, a composer and musician, very fine clarinetist, and we've been hearing his jazz work and also listening to a couple of his pieces from the art music realm. And of course, fine conversation with his brother, Dan Keberle. This will be available as a podcast, a From the Studio podcast at SpokanePublicRadio.org later this afternoon. And if you missed part of it, then you'll certainly have a chance to hear it again.